I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Our focus for the past week here on the show has been on women in prison and how the number of incarcerated women is rising around the globe. That's definitely true here in the United States. We are the country with the highest rate of female incarceration in the world. And within the U.S., the state with the highest rate is Oklahoma. The state imprisons 151 out of every 100,000 women, according to the federal government. That's more than double the national rate. Today's story from our Across Women's Lives desk takes us to Oklahoma. The World's Allison Herrera met a woman there who just finished her sentence and is now adjusting to the challenges on the outside.
Yeah, Wapo!
That's not fair!
Stop squirting.
It's a warm and sunny Saturday in the town of Duncan in southwest Oklahoma. So warm that a water fight is breaking out on the lawn of Cherise Greer's tidy house. Cherise, her husband Adrian, and her 8-year-old daughter Angelique are dodging streams of water as each clutches a bright orange squirt gun. This is just the second weekend Cherise is able to spend time with her family after being in the Oklahoma criminal justice system for 2 years. Obviously, they have some catching up to do.
What's your favorite country song?
House Party?
House Party.
House Party.
In 2016, Cherise was charged with possession with intent after the sheriff found 3.9 grams of methamphetamines and a set of scales in her car. She spent almost a year at Stevens County Jail before she was transferred to a halfway house. She stayed clean with the help of a treatment program, but now that she's back in Duncan, she's just relying on herself not to relapse.
There's always going to be that struggle there. But knowing what it has taken away from me, and the time that it has taken away, I've missed so much of my daughter's life already, and she's only 8. I don't want to miss no more. And I know that that's what it could do to me.
Cherise and her daughter are inseparable. They listen to Angelique's favorite country song, talk about school, and her favorite food, hamburgers. Cherise wasn't able to see Angelique at all when she was behind bars. It was too far of a drive, and Adrian, Cherise's husband, was facing charges of his own, also related to drugs. But they wrote, talked on the phone, and just waited until Cherise got home.
Can I ask you one serious question? Are you happy your mom is home?
Yeah.
What was it like with your mom not being home?
Sad.
What were you sad about? What was the thing that made you sad the most?
Mom being lonely. Mm-hmm. And not getting to laugh so much because my mom makes me laugh so much.
What does she do to make you laugh?
I don't know, it tickles me.
Cherise has 17 years on paper. That means if she uses again, gets a probation violation, or is caught with someone else using drugs, even when she isn't, she could go back to prison for 17 years. Cherise is open with her 8-year-old daughter about her addiction because she thinks it will help keep her on track.
I mean, I tell her to this day, she'll ask me, what did you go to jail for? And then for a long time, I wouldn't tell her. But now I tell her because, you know, I want her to know. I will not lie to her. And I want her to know, you know, that if you mess with the drugs, it could ruin your life and it could send you to prison.
In 2017, Cherise was one of more than 3,000 women serving time in Oklahoma. Stevens County, where Cherise lives, is the third highest county in Oklahoma for locking up women. The Stevens County Sheriff, district attorneys, and judges embrace a lock-em-up attitude that consistently gets them votes. The result is crowded jail cells and putting prisons over capacity with nonviolent offenders, like Cherise's mom. Yes, Cherise's mom, Robin Allen, is in prison. She's 4 years into a 20-year sentence, her first felony for trafficking in methamphetamines.
Hi. Well, look at you.
How are you?
What'd you bring there?
Cherise's letters.
Oh, awesome.
I met Robin 2 years ago when I was working on a documentary about women in prison. Since then, I've kept in contact with her through phone calls, letters, and visits to the prison where she's doing her time. She told me about her crime and how she started using drugs and the guilt she feels for what she's done to her family. In June of 2017, both Cherise and Robin were at the same prison where they had a chance meeting. Robin was out on the yard talking to a guard when she saw Charisse with some other girls, headed for a van to be transferred out. Robin risked getting in trouble as she called out, "I love you," to Charisse, who told her not to cry. That's the first time Robin had seen her daughter since she was arrested in 2013. Robin is happy Charisse is home, even if it is bittersweet.
I tell her all the time in letters and everything how we're going to have a functional relationship, you know, instead of being a dysfunctional family like we have been, we're going to be a functioning family. I can't wait to get out and have a healthy relationship with her, you know, and I'm right behind her. I'll be home soon enough. I can't wait to go home and just be there.
Charisse misses her mom, but she's resolved not to look back. She wants to get back on track, and that means finding work and staying clean. Right now, she's without a car and on an ankle monitor, which means she's only allowed out of the house from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekdays, and not at all on the weekends. She's not living with her husband Adrian right now because of her probation, and Angelique is in school, so she has a lot of time on her hands.
But, like, you know, just her not being there. I mean, I'll wake up and I don't know.
Yeah.
Just not having her there, not having her daddy there, not, you know, being in the situation I'm in, you know, not working. So I sit at the house all the time. I mean, it just, a lot of it gets tiring.
Charisse wants to move back in with Adrian and work on their marriage. He's currently finishing drug treatment himself and working full time and taking care of his mom. And she's been out job hunting, including at this Holiday Inn Express.
All right. Now what? Okay, what'd they say?
The manager's name is Connie. She will be in tomorrow, so I'll call and talk to her tomorrow.
And Charisse needs a job. She owes almost $10,000 in court costs related to her case. She wants to have Angelique back full-time, and she wants to get out of Duncan.
I have a lot of bad history here. Trying to make sure you don't run with that wrong crowd again or even get associated with that wrong crowd again. Or I want to move away from that.
Most of all, she just wants to have that functional family her mom talks about, especially for Angelique.
Every time, you know, she cuddles up to me in the bed, mama rub my back, scratch my back. I can't do that if I'm in prison. I can't do that if I'm away from her. You know, and I don't want someone else to have to step in and do that when it should be me.
Are you going to try a backflip? No?
In the month Charisse has been out, she's managed to stay clean and developed a network of friends who can help her when she has a bad day. She's been helping her grandmother fix up the house and started watching Angelique after school now. And she accomplished one of her goals. I checked back in with Charisse, and it turns out she got that job at the Holiday Inn Express, working in housekeeping. That's a huge hurdle out of the way and a small step in getting her life back, despite the odds.
Ready?
Uh-huh. For The World, Allison Herrera, Duncan, Oklahoma.
Wait, can I take my shoes off?
You can see photos of Charisse Greer and her daughter on our Across Women's Lives Instagram page. That's at Women's Lives. That's one word, no apostrophe, Women's Lives. And tomorrow here on the show, we'll hear the story of an extraordinary woman who helped create a new kind of criminal court in Canada. Doris Paul was seeing too many women from her community going to prison, so she decided to change the system by working with a judge to give Indigenous people a chance to get out of the revolving door of incarceration.
They put down the bottle, they put down the drug, the needle, and they picked up a drum and a drumstick, and they're drumming and participating in our ceremonies.
That's tomorrow as our series Unequal Justice continues here on The World.